This is an All Ears English Podcast, episode 2183, Charles Duhigg on three ways to be a super communicator.
Welcome to the All Ears English Podcast, downloaded more than 200 million times. We believe in connection, not perfection, with your American host, Lindsay McMahon, and today's featured guest coming to you from Denver, Colorado, USA. And to get your transcripts delivered by email every week, go to allearsenglish.com/subscribe.
Today, Lindsay interviews New York Times Pulitzer Prize winner Charles Duhigg. There are people in this world that we call super communicators who can connect with anyone in any moment. Listen in to get three things that you can do to become a super communicator.
Everyone knows that the missing piece when it comes to fluency is having a way to practice, but we also know that you're busy. So that's why we've added special speaking opportunities for all students in our courses. Monthly fluency parties with an All Ears English host, open conversation club every week, and even a live Q&A in some plans. Join our online fluency course to get these benefits and more. Go to allearsenglish.com/plan to save 20% when you join before midnight on May 5th. But this offer does expire at midnight on May 5th. So go to allearsenglish.com/PLAN. Hello, Charles. Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on the show here. You know, I've known about your work for the last about 10 years, read one of your original books, The Power of Habit, but I'd like to take a minute to introduce you to our audience. So for our listeners, guys, today I have Charles Duhigg on the show. He is the author of the New York Times bestsellers, The Power of Habit and Smarter, Faster, Better. He's a staff writer at The New Yorker and was previously a reporter at The New York Times, where he won a Pulitzer Prize for explanatory reporting in 2013. And he has appeared on This American Life, NPR, The NewsHour with Jim Lehrer, and Frontline. And he lives in Santa Cruz, California. Welcome again to the show, Charles.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, I started reading your book, your new book called, what is it called? What's the new book that you have out here?
Super Communicators, How to Unlock the Secret Language of Connection.
And I saw that title and I said, boom, that's it. We need to have you on the show, because here at All Ears English, that is our vision. It's our mission, is not so much, it is language learning. We talk about learning English for global professionals, but every episode we do here comes back to connection. And it seems like that is something you are also interested in, Charles.
Oh, absolutely. So,
yeah. How did you become interested in this topic? I mean, from your other books, how did you get into researching this area?
Well, you know, I basically started to wonder why some people were so good at connecting with anyone that they've encountered. And yes, it seems like such a superpower, right? To, when you meet these business people or these figures who, they just seem to connect with everyone. And initially I thought that was because they were born that way, right? They must have, like, or they're like really charismatic, or they're really extroverts and really outgoing. But as I started getting into the research, what I learned was that's actually not true. Anyone can become a super communicator.
Yes.
It's just a series of skills that you need to kind of practice until they become habits. And they unlock our ability to not only communicate with, but to connect with really anyone, regardless of how much or a little we have in common with them.
And what an important skill. I think one of the points you made in the book was so true. Many of us go through many interactions in life not truly connecting. You had the images of the brain doing different things.
Yeah.
But when we can truly have our brains moving in the same direction, it's a different experience. And it just feels more satisfying as human beings, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And we've actually evolved to crave that kind of connection. Yes. And within psychology, this is known as the matching principle. And what it says is that in order to really hear each other, in order to really connect with each other, we need to be having the same kind of conversation at the same moment. And yes, most conversations, they fall into one of three buckets, right? There's these practical conversations we have where we're making plans, or we're you know, solving problems.
Yeah.
And then there's emotional conversations where we're talking about how we feel. And I don't want you to solve my feelings. I want you to empathize.
Right. Then, 100%. Yeah.
And then finally, there's these social conversations, which is about how we relate to each other in society and the social identities that are important to us.
Yeah.
And if I come home and I'm having a bad day and I complain to my wife and I'm having an emotional conversation and she responds by suggesting a solution, like, why don't you take your boss to lunch?
Right.
We're not going to hear each other. In fact, I'm going to get more upset rather than feel good because we're having different kinds of conversations. But if we align, then we can really hear each other. Then we can move through these different conversations together.
Yeah. So that is the foundation of the idea. Why do you think most people miss this? Why do you think we tend to not connect in that reason for that conversation? What conversation? Why do we miss this?
I think honestly, just because we're not paying attention, right? We've only really learned about the last three kinds of conversations in the last decade as our ability to do neural imaging and data collection has gotten better. And I think oftentimes when we go into a conversation, we're thinking about ourselves. What do I want to say? What do I want to get across? What's my goal? And those are important to know those things, but it's equally important to think about what the other person needs, what the other person wants to get across, what the other person's goal is. Amazing. And sometimes what you'll find is that if your goals are in conflict, it's as easy as just saying, okay, look, let's start with your goal and then we'll move to my goal. Let's start talking about emotional topics and then we'll move to practical topics. Because when we do that together, then we're aligned. Then we're, what in the words of neurology, we're what's known as neurally entrained.
I love that term, neurally entrained. So before we get into your tips here, Charles, on what are the three things that we could do to become a super communicator? I think our listeners are going to be really excited to know what they are. I'm curious about the research that was done. Was it done globally, cross-culturally, and how could culture, I mean, would it change this, or is this just a human? Are these human principles, or could this be different cross-culturally?
Yeah. So they are human principles. These three conversations show up in every culture that's been looked at by researchers. But you're exactly right that in different cultures, different habits are stronger or weaker, right? Mm. In, for instance, the United States, being sort of confrontational is a habit that's very acceptable that people fall into. Right. I don't know if you've spent much time in like Israel, but in Israel, people are very confrontational. Right. And again, it's just part of the mores or the culture of the place. Now, if you go to some place like Japan, where I spent last summer, then people have just as many issues. They have just as many disagreements, but the culture is to express those differences or this express our needs a little bit differently.
Okay.
And what's important here is not to think that different cultures have different rules, but to recognize every culture has the same basic rules, but they get expressed in slightly different ways. And I, as an outsider, I need to learn what those cultural rules are. Because once I do, then I'm going to know that if somebody is and I used to live in the Middle East, and this happened all the time. I lived in Egypt, is that nobody ever tells you no, because it's rude to say no. So after a little while, you learn that, like, even if they're saying not right now, what they really mean is no.
Right, right.
And it's my job to learn that lesson and to pay attention to it.
Of course. I had a similar experience. I lived in Japan for a little while, and something similar where there are certain words that are not no, but they mean no. Right. Yeah. So it's reading between the lines, right, Charles? Just really understanding that. Love it. And as I started reading through the book, as I mentioned before we went on hit record, it seems like being a super communicator is not about superficial tactics, right? No. I mean, that's kind of what I was expecting to see, was more kind of things we can do, words we can say, little things we can insert, kind of tactics. But it sounds like it's much more around your presence around people.
That's absolutely right. It's about bringing authenticity to a conversation. You know, one of the things that we know super communicators do so well is that they ask a lot of questions. And in particular, they ask what are known as deep questions. And a deep question asks about our values or our beliefs or experiences, which can sound overwhelming, but it's as simple as if you meet someone who's a lawyer, saying, why'd you decide to go to law school?
Yeah.
Like, what do you love about practicing law? What's your favorite case? When you ask someone a question like that, what you're really asking them is, tell me about how you see the world. Like, what is it that makes you passionate, that motivates you? And when someone answers that authentically and you're authentically curious and you respond with your own authenticity, you engage in what's known as reciprocal authenticity or reciprocal vulnerability, we feel closer to each other. And that's not a trick. You can't fake that. But if you really invest in it, if you bring your full self to the conversation, then it's going to work.
Yeah. Why do you think we sometimes don't bring our full selves to the conversation in general? Is it we're too busy? We're too, like, we're in a fear-based mindset? What do you think it is?
I think a lot of it is anxiety, right? Or we're so focused on our goals that we're thinking to ourselves, okay, my goal in this conversation is to prove that I'm smart. Or mm-hmm. my goal in this conversation is to prove that I'm right. Or to get you to yes. like me. Or to convince you to buy my product.
Yes.
And we've all been in conversations like that. And sometimes that's appropriate, right? If you're a salesman, then maybe you should be doing that. But the best salespeople, the best communicators, they take a break and they say, okay, I know what my goals are. What are the other person's goals, right? Why are you here? Why are you having this conversation? Let this be a dialogue as opposed to a monologue where I'm just waiting my turn to speak. I think that's part of it. And I think the other part is, sometimes we're just anxious. You know, one of the most anxiety producing things you can ask someone to do is to have a conversation with a stranger.
Interesting. Yes. And yet
we do this all the time and they go fine. They go great.
Right. Right.
And I think that sometimes we just have to remind ourselves to have a little bit less anxiety. In fact, there was a study that was done by some professors at Harvard Business School where they told students, okay, you're going to go have a conversation with a stranger. Mm-hmm. Before you do, write down three topics you might want to discuss. Just take 10 seconds to do this. Like, mm-hmm. you know, last night's game and what you're doing this weekend. And then stick it in your pocket and go have the conversation. And what they found is that those topics almost never came up. But the fact that people had them to fall back on made them feel so much more confident and so much less anxious in that conversation. Mm. And of course, we can do that before any conversation. We can just take 5 seconds to think like, okay, what do I want to talk about? What might come up? And it might not come up, but if there's a silence, you've got something in your back pocket.
I love that, right? Because there's nothing more human. And I think you might've mentioned this in the book, and I agree. Than conversation. There's nothing more powerful, more human than conversation. It is our basic nature. You know, this is our birthright to connect with people.
It is our superpower. It's what's made Homo sapiens such a success. That's why we're on the top of the heap when it comes to species, is we have the ability to communicate with each other and therefore form families and villages mm-hmm. and towns and countries. And at work, the people who succeed are the people who are the best communicators. We know this from study after study and industry after industry. Particularly once you become a manager, your ability to communicate is the single most important thing at determining your success.
I love that. So it sounds like what we're looking to do is step into what we naturally do well anyways, what we know we can do, and strip out, kind of move past the anxiety that's sort of getting in the way a little
bit. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And there's some simple tactics that help us do that.
Yeah. I think our listeners would love to hear what those tactics are. Charles, what would be the first thing that we could do?
The first thing is to ask more questions, and in particular to ask those deep questions, right? And it's easier than it seems, because really what we're asking is, what do you make of that? Like, instead of asking people about the facts of their life, ask them how they feel about their life. Instead of saying, you know, where do you live? Saying, what do you love most about the place you live? Like, what's the best part of your neighborhood? That's a chance for people to share who they really are. So the second tactic, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, it's going into the why a little bit beyond the what, right, Charles? Yeah.
That's exactly right. That's
love
exactly
it. Right. Okay.
The second tactic is to prove that we're listening. Because oftentimes, even if we are listening, the other person doesn't know that we're listening. Ah. And there's always a suspicion, particularly in hard conversations or talking to someone new, that maybe this person isn't listening. Maybe they're just waiting their turn to speak. Mm. Now, the way that we prove that we're listening is what we do after someone stops talking. And there's a technique known as looping for understanding that, particularly in hard conversations, is really, really effective. And it has three steps. Step one is ask a question, preferably a deep question if you can. Mm-hmm. Step two is repeat back in your own words what you just heard this person say, right? That shows that you're listening to them. It shows. And step three, and this is the one we usually forget, ask if you got it right.
Mm. So what would that sound like in terms of the wording we might use to repeat back? I think I heard you say X, or what would feels right?
So here's what I hear you saying, and tell me if I got this right. Here's what I think you're telling me. Mm-hmm. Right. And then what's amazing about that is that not only does it feel so wonderful to the other person to know that you paid such close attention.
Yes.
What we know is that we are hardwired in such a way that it makes that other person want to listen to you, more likely to listen to you.
Yes.
So when we prove that we're listening, we actually make our own voices a little bit louder if we do it well.
Amazing. Okay.
And then the third tactic is to really invest in connections. So there was a study that was done known as the Harvard Study of Adult Development. It's one of the most famous studies out there. It's for almost 100 years, they've been following around thousands of people. And they've been trying to figure out what makes you healthiest when you're age 65 and happiest and most successful, however you define success.
Yeah.
And what they found is that the only thing that indicates if you will be healthy and happy and successful at age 65 is having at least a small handful of close connections when you're 45 years old, which of course means that you've started developing those relationships way before 45.
Right.
Wow. Having connections with other people is what makes our life satisfying and meaningful and makes us happy. And that means that we need to set some time aside to actually invest in those, right? It means that when we're on a business call, instead of just making it 15 minutes, we make it 30 minutes and we spend some time saying, what's going on with you? Like, what's new in your world? What's happening? It means calling up that person that you haven't spoken to in a year and a half and knowing that the first couple of minutes might be a little bit awkward, but that then you're going to fall into this conversation and this relationship that is so sustaining that probably leads to new business opportunities and new insights. Creating time to cultivate and nurture connections is really important. And the way we do that is through conversations.
Yes, I love it. I love it. And I think we need to schedule it in. As you said, we need to make that time. But we're off kind of chasing our careers and doing the things we feel we need to do. It's almost like every week we have to remind ourselves, when is my connection time? You know, when am I going to get this into my calendar? Right?
It's really important. And it makes a huge, huge difference when we do it.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. Oh my gosh, Charles, I wish we could talk for half an hour. I so appreciate this. This is so in line with what we talk about here on Allers English. Any final bit of advice for our listeners, especially our global audience, if they are doing business or communicating in their second language in English, any to be a super communicator in a second language, anything there that you could offer?
Absolutely. And the thing I would say is, the biggest lesson that we've picked up in the last 10 years is that anyone can be a super communicator in any language, right? Because it's not about your fluency. It's not about getting every single word right. What it's about is it's about being curious, about asking questions, about listening, and most importantly, about showing people that you want to connect with them. That when I show you I want to connect and you connect back, that feels wonderful. And the first most important step is showing you that I want to listen. I want to understand you. I want to connect. And that, of course, that doesn't matter what language it happens in.
Yes.
That's something that we show with what we do.
Oh, I love that. I love that. This is very reassuring that we know we're on the right path, focusing on human connection. This is fantastic. Charles, I think our listeners might want to know more about how to get their hands on this book and read more, go deeper into your research. Where could they get that?
Yeah, absolutely. So Super Communicators is available online or in any bookstore that you normally go to. There's lots of them in airport bookstores right now, which is really great. And in addition, if you want to reach out to me, you can email me. I actually read and respond to every email I get. My email address is charles@charlesduhigg.com. And my website is charlesduhigg.com, where there's lots of information.
Perfect. Thank you for being so accessible, especially to our audience. That is fantastic. I so appreciate your time today, Charles. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Hope to have you on again soon. Thank you. Thanks for listening to All Ears English. Would you like to know your English level? Take our 2-minute quiz. Go to allearsenglish.com/fluency score. And if you believe in connection, not perfection, then hit subscribe now to make sure you don't miss anything. See you next time.